You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gordon Brown, Andrew Mount and Chris Pimlott in the studio. It's Bath, Brighton and Pontefract on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton and Yarmouth in the evening on the domestic front. And there's also racing over in Ireland as well from Sligo, so six meetings to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Rory DeLaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good man. We'll move on to Wednesday's racing pretty shortly. But before we do, we'll just have a little bit of a chat about the news. Not that much going on, though, to be fair, Rory.
No, it's a quiet sort of week, really, isn't it? As we build up to the Shergar Cup, which is a bit of a specialist event at the weekend.
Yes. It is a bit of a different weekend, really, isn't it? You've got, obviously, teams in action at the Shergar Cup. There's no real feature race. It's a different kind of racing weekend, isn't it? It seems more family-orientated and a bit more of a fun day than maybe the high-pressure Group 1 kind of races.
Yeah, that's very much the case, isn't it?
Yeah. And Hayley Turner back in action as well. I suppose that'll be the story of the weekend. Should she ride a few
winners? Yeah, it's a story that's been running and running for a while, and it's the audience, to a degree. A few people are thinking that Hayley takes away some of the interest in the event. If you're going to have an event like this and you're going to particularly promote a girls' team, there's probably a better opportunity to put forward the likes of Josephine Gordon, who does eventually ride in this, but she's needed two or three others to cry off before she's got in the team, and she fully deserves it. She was seen to good effect at Carlisle last night, that ladies' meeting, which is another sort of gimmicky event that we have. And whether bringing Hayley Turner back as a one-off, she actually rode at Carlisle as well last night with less success. I'm not sure that it's the cleverest idea, although the argument would be that it helps have a poster girl there to get people through the gates, but it's not met with absolute approval, has it?
No. We'll obviously see what happens there at the weekend, see if anybody else can write their name into the headlines. Bit of other news to talk about just briefly before we get stuck into Wednesday's racing. Hugo Palmer's supplemented architecture for the German Oaks. She's obviously got placed efforts in the English and Irish equivalents, going to Germany because it's over a furlong shorter, and the idea is she doesn't quite stay the trip.
Yeah, she's been in front a furlong out in the Oaks at Epsom and the Curra, and Hugo Palmer obviously thinking that running over a mile three may give her a chance of winning one. And of course, it's a Group One anyway. It's worth a lot of money. It's worth $500,000 nearly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's no reason why you shouldn't do that. They've had a supplementer for it, but you know, it's worth the risk given the high level of form she's shown. She'll be the highest rated filly in the race, I would have thought. She'll need the luck of the draw. It's a tighter track than the Curra. But she's got the speed to take a good position, so there's no reason why she shouldn't do that. And it makes more sense than sending her over for a thrashing at the hands of Minding at Goodwood.
Yes, it does, yeah. Other bit of news that I just wanted to mention, regards Big Orange, a horse that plenty of people have warmed to after his two Goodwood Cups. I think the plan is to still aim for the Melbourne Cup, but they're going to take in the Irish Ledger first, ruling out a tilt at anything in the US or Canada. And then they're going to wait and see what the Australian handicapper does before making a decision.
Yeah, it sounds like Bill Gredley is not particularly keen to run him in a handicap with a big weight. But it'd be interesting to see what the Australian handicapper thinks of the Goodwood Cup, because he won the race last year. He's won it again this time around, and you could argue that he might take a similar view of the form, really. In which case he'd look interesting, because Jimmy Spencer is absolutely adamant he's a better horse this season. He ran a really good race in it last year, but comments from the stable saying things like, you know, this is the Melbourne Cup, really is a race for lightweights, and we don't want to, you know, to go there with a big burden because we'd be up against it. But I think it's a race that suits him very well, as he showed last time. So I'd be more inclined to go for a race like that than say, well, the Irish Ledger makes sense. But I gather they're talking about going for the Dubai World Cup next year.
Is that right?
Which would just be an absolutely bizarre race for him, in my opinion. Wouldn't suit him in the slightest.
No. No, I'd quite like to see him turn up in the Melbourne Cup. I think he's a better horse this year.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's always... We like him because he's always looked a horse who was gradually getting there. Really good looker at three, but, you know, big and gangly and weak and needing to grow into his frame. And now he's the complete racehorse. His attitude at Goo Boop was fantastic. He found tons for pressure. It looked like they were coming to swamp him with a couple of furlongs to go, but he just pulled out plenty in front. And while that doesn't tend to be the way Melbourne Cups are run, I think if you find a horse with that run style who can... who's got the speed, the natural speed to sort of roll along happily at the head of affairs and then can dig in again. I think you can beat the Australians with that kind of tactic.
Hmm. Interesting. Anything else in your mind before we move on?
Not a lot. No.
Let's move on then. Let's get stuck into Wednesday's racing. Rory's got four races prepared for us and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then moving through these in chronological order, we start in the 3:20 at Brighton, which is the John Smith's Brighton Mile Challenge Trophy. It's a handicap. We've got 16 of them to go to post for this, so quite a big field. In fact, one non-runner as we record this, Wimpole Hull, won't go. So that leaves us with 15, which scuppers the old four places each way angle. But what do you make of the race?
The first thing to say is that there is a somewhat surprising bias towards high numbers in big fields over a mile at Brighton. Smaller fields, not such a deal. But when the field gets big and congested, the reason for this is that they actually turn right straight after the start at the mile start at Brighton, which is shaped like a big M, essentially. So they swing right briefly before they swing left again into the straight. And that means that the easiest place to get a track position is from a wide draw. Doesn't guarantee you're going to get that. But if your jockey's fairly switched on, then that will be a major benefit. And that gives Mark Johnson a strong hand. He's got front runners in Freight Train, Ravenhoe, and Sure We Can in there. And they're all drawn high. Sure We Can's drawn 14. Ravenhoe's drawn 12 and Freight Train's drawn 11. Freight Train ran really well at Glorious Goodwood and is liable to be favourite for this on that basis. Runner-up in a better class race at the Glorious meeting. He is dropping back in trip, though. His form is generally over 9 furlongs, a mile and a quarter, and he might just find the drop to a mile against him. But you've got to respect all the Johnson horses, and he has won this race in recent times as well. He won it with Party Royal in 2013. I'm going to go against Johnson, not because I don't think he's got a strong challenge. He clearly does. But you probably find that Pacalita, who's drawn in 15, is overpriced. She also went to Glorious Goodwood, only finished 8th of 11 in a weaker race than the one that the Freight Train ran in. She was ridden by a fairly inexperienced apprentice that day, didn't really settle under him, and was only headed at the furlong pole and beaten 5 lengths in the end. She was better than the bare result there. She looked to stay this trip really well when second at Windsor, beating a neck in her previous start. And she's a course winner here. She won under today's jockey, Eddie Greatrex, over 7 furlongs early last month. She looks like she will improve for a mile as well. And she's got that drawn stall 15, which means that she should be handy. She's probably not going to try to lead here, but she will sit handy just behind the leaders. I expect 2 of Mark Johnson's are going to go on. They don't mind taking each other on head-to-head, the Johnson horses, and it may well be they dominate, but I think Pacalita will be overpriced here because of her poor run on paper last time out, but it's better than it looks, and she's liable to bounce back to form at Brighton.
Pacalita and the selection. Eddie Greatrex actually got a really good record on board. He's ridden her twice and won both times.
Yeah, it's a big positive that he's taken over from Mitch Godwin.
Yeah. So that's the 3:20 at Brighton then. Moving on to the 4:40 at Pontefract next. Class 4 handicap here, a veterans handicap over a mile. And we've got a field of 8 to go to post for this one, including last year's winner, Ralphie Boy, who, whilst he hasn't won for a while, showed signals of maybe a return to form last time.
Yeah, he's only beaten a neck at Musselburgh on his most recent start behind Buccaneers Vault, keeping on really well that day off a reduced mark of 72. Gets to run off the same mark again here, and given he won the race last year, and has drawn in stall 2, which is a positive at Pontefract generally. He looks to have plenty in his favour in his bid to win this again. Alistair Willans is a much shrewder yard than people give him credit for, and the yard's in good form at the moment. PJ McDonald takes over, and I think Ralphie Boy will go close. The one I fear most is Curzon Line who is the one on the field, drawn quite badly in stall eight. But there is a possibility that he will bounce out under Graham Gibbons and make the running. And we've seen a couple of times at recent Pontefract meetings that if he can steal a lead, very, very hard to pull them back in again. So he's the one who might lead, and if he does, he'd be dangerous. But Ralphie Boy gets the vote.
Ralphie Boy, then, the selection in the 440. Moving to Yarmouth next for their 620. This one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. Field of 8 to go to post for this one. And some interesting ones in there. There's a few that the handicapper probably hasn't got to grips with yet.
Yeah, a couple of very lightly raced ones in Coachsider and Carolina. The latter filly, daughter of McPhee, looks the most interesting at first glance, given that she won her most recent start at Lingfield off a mark of 62. She's only £5 higher, but she's back on turf here, which shouldn't be an issue in that she was she ran very respectably when favourite, 4th of 11 at Newbury in May. My worry is that she's been off the track for 7 weeks. I don't like backing horses in midsummer who haven't seen recent action. I know that trainers can get them fit these days. It's not an issue. But horses always who haven't had a run for whatever reason, it makes you a little bit suspicious. And more horses win races this time of the year when they've had a recent run. So I'm reluctantly against Carlina here. This should be a very strong pace, but truly scrumptious in the field. She won well at Newmarket last time out. And if they let her go again, should be very hard to pull back. It's always been a feature of Yarmouth. And Peter Charalambos, who trains Truly Scrumptious, has won plenty of races here with horses who've gone tearing off in front and just not stopped. But she does have one or two who will take her on. Carolina herself is liable to race handily. The Cornish Baron, who was a winner at this track 2 starts ago, is also better for front-running tactics than he is for a hold-up ride. So he's liable to be ridden positively as well. And if the two of them go head-to-head, then that should be setting it up for a finisher. And the horse I like in that scenario is Snappy Guest of George Margeson's. He was better than the result when 4th of 8 at Windsor last time. I've been in less than 3.5 lengths, given too much to do by Tom Queeley that day. But he should have the race run to suit this time. He's been in and out, but then the yard has been out of form for most of the season. But they went very, very close with a nursery runner at Kempton on Monday. And it looks like George is coming back to form. Jimmy Spencer, always a good booking for this yard as well. Liable to be coming from last, but with a very strong pace on, that should not be a negative. And I think Snappy Guest could bounce back to form.
Snappy Guest then for Rory in the 6.20 at Yarmouth, and we finish off in the 8.40 at Kempton. This is a Class 4 handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs. It's a qualifier for the London Middle Distance Series. Should have been a field of 8. Significant non-runner here now. Sam Missile doesn't go, so I imagine a lot of the market interest will probably be in the direction of Angry White Pajamas in that case.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Angry White Pajamas here, in that he's thoroughly unexposed. He was a respectable third of five on his debut at Haydock, but stepped up markedly for the move to Tapita when winning a maiden by 3/4 of a length at Wolverhampton on his next start. That looked a strong enough race at the time, and I wondered if there was a bit of fluke about it, but it's worked out pretty well. He beat California Lad, if you haven't seen since, but Bro Rocco of Andrew Baldings, who was third, came out and won next time out, and the fourth home has also run respectably since. So there's no reason not to doubt that form, and given that was just his second start, there should be a lot of improvement to come from Angry White Pajamas. Not entirely sure where the name comes from. It's amusing, but people say that horses with bad names don't win good races, but he might just be able to prove them wrong here.
Okay, Angry White Pajamas and gets the vote for Rory in the 8.40. Let's just have a little bit of summary as usual, Rory, if you just reiterate your selections for us one more time.
Yeah, in the Brighton Mile, I've gone for Pacolita to get the better of a Mark Johnson trio who'd all be feared. I hope that Ralphie Boy can go back to back in the 440 at Pontefract, won the race last year and looks well handicapped on that. I'm also banking a Snappy Guest bouncing back to form in a well-run race for the 620 at Yarmouth, and Angry White Pajamas can live up to his name in the 840 at Kempton.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what he'd be living up to, but yeah, thanks, Rory. Good stuff. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you very much indeed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Andrew Mount and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Bath, Brighton and Pontefract on Wednesday afternoon, Kempton and Yarmouth in the evening, on the domestic front and racing over in Ireland as well from Sligo. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.